Synthaholics, it's the Red Tribal Podcast.
Synthaholics Podcast, and we are your hosts, Holly and Aaron.
Hello.
And this week, we've chosen to dive into another two episodes we hope will get us into Picard's mind before the new series premieres in 2020.
Don't you know what he's thinking?
I do. How did he get to where he is?
We must know.
So, now, you've already found us, obviously, if you're listening to this, but you can find our website at www.synthaholics.com. You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/synthaholics, or search Synthaholics Podcast, and you can tweet us at Synthaholic Duo.
Please do, and let us know what you think. Join the group, because everyone's talking on the group, and they're fighting, and they're posting memes and funny videos, so it's fun. So
super relevant stuff, super inappropriate stuff. It's all over the place.
It is all over the place, exactly. But it's always fun, and we've made some nice, great, you know, some cool friends that we've got a chance to, you know, get to know, and some of them have come on the show too. So
yes,
so it's pretty cool to start a community and see what, you know, who comes out of the woodwork to, you know, want to talk and share their ideas.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at our group and it's like, this is, you know, a big community.
there's a lot of people on it. So it's cool. We have a lot of fun talking to people, and sometimes they have fun and sometimes they get a little heated, but everything's cool.
We don't kick people out because of what they like.
No. Nothing like that. No. You can like whatever you like. It's fine. But we have, Holly said, we're going to do two episodes. We're going to basically just, as we've been doing in the past, is kind of focusing on the Picard side of the story. So we will talk about a quick breakdown of the story, but we won't get into the nuances. We're going to be talking about the Next Generation episode, The Defector, and then The Offspring. I think these two are nice episodes that kind of showcase Picard and who he is, how he reacts to challenges. Mm-hmm. And we did talk about The Offspring some time back, actually. We talked with it on episode 119 with Michelle Speck. She is part of Star Trek Continues. If you haven't seen that, that's a YouTube continuation of the original series. It's really well produced. She was an amazing guest, and she had a lot of fun talking about this with us. So if you want to go on a deeper dive of The Offspring, we had a great conversation with her, and it's fun. So you can look that episode up if you like.
Excellent.
Well, The Defector. The Defector was an interesting episode. This is, before we get into it.
We
got to talk news. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
You're very excited to see what's in Picard's head.
What is in his head. So we did get some more news out of the Las Vegas Star Trek show. Apparently, Section 31 is easily a year and a half to 2 years away. They said they're expecting around the year 2021. So we won't get to see Ash Tyler and Michelle Yeoh
kick ass. I can wait. That's not very long to wait when you wait for other things, you know.
That's true. And we have Picard and we have a bunch of other stuff in season 3 of Discovery coming up. So.
Right.
There's other things to watch during that time. It has been pushed off quite a bit. The other thing is, it's sort of important, but it's kind of playing in the backstory, is that CBS and Viacom is the parent company to Paramount Pictures, and they own the rights for the movie rights to Star Trek. So if you don't know, or if you somewhat are familiar with it, is that some years ago, CBS had all the television rights, and then they kind of broke off from Viacom, and Viacom was their its own thing, owning Paramount Pictures. So that's why we got, like, the JJ universe that was somewhat different than what we saw for the original series, because in a lot of ways they had to make it somewhat different from the TV show. They, for legal reasons, they had to change things. I think it was like 20% or something like that. I'm not entirely certain that the why they had to change it, but now if this merger takes place, they're talking about this might happen on August 8th. Who knows if this will actually happen, but they've been courting this for like 2 years. So, but if that was the case, if we did have a successful, Star Trek series, it is possible they could make that into a movie at some point. So we could get a Discovery movie. We could get a Picard movie kind of deal or whatever else down the line that's, you know, becomes popular. So that's fun. We don't know where that's going to go, obviously. But, you know, rights and movie rights and television rights and who can produce and what, it's very complicated.
Yeah.
And I don't pretend to know much about it.
I don't even want to.
Well,
granted, I would love to work even as like a coffee and donut girl on a set.
just watch the stars deliver their lines.
Not really the stars. I love the backstage. I love seeing how things came together, and I love it.
It is cool to see. I mean, here in the Buffalo area, they're recording a Silent Place 2. Are you familiar with that movie?
That's a horror movie. Nope.
No, you didn't watch it. It's the same. It's the same guy from The Office. I'm trying to remember what his name is, but he's an actor from The Office. He did that. But anyways, they're filming that here. So
neat.
Well, I mean, it's cool. It's a big movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, you're in California, so they probably make all the.
Well, you know, it's funny because I lived in North Carolina, and right outside of where I lived, probably about an hour. Iron Man 3 was filmed right like the town scene.
Nice.
Where the little boy lived.
Right, right.
That was filmed right near where the winery was that I... Well, it wasn't my favorite winery. It was all sweet wine. Blech.
Yeah.
But it was a cool winery. they had non-alcoholic wine there, which was cool. And they had a little restaurant. Anyway, like literally down the road, while I was there, I got to go see the set of Iron Man 3 because it was all, you know, they had all the... The shop names changed and everything. It was all roped off so nobody could go down it. But there are a lot of filming in Wilmington, North Carolina, which was about an hour and 10 minutes away.
Hmm.
A lot of filming in Buffalo and Toronto, which is right near, you know,
me,
you know, Niagara Falls and Buffalo. And now I'm in San Diego, LA.
I'm sure there's tons of movies being filmed all around you.
I'm sure. Well, I went to the art museum.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we were sitting at dinner, and there were some kids on skateboards, like filming, filming while they're riding down the middle of the road. I'm like, that guy's gonna run into a car. that's just you know, San Diego. But anyway.
It's a crazy place.
We're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about Picard.
Picard. Nice. Yeah, so those are the kind of the news that kind of leaked out as well. There were other little small things, but I think those were probably the most important to at least mention, especially the Viacom and CBS merger. So, you know, who knows? And if everything goes well, you know, in 2 or 3 years, we might see a new Star Trek movie that's not from Tarantino. So, I don't know. Let's get into The Defector.
Yes!
Defector is season 3, episode 10, and it aired January 1st on 1990. And... we start off with a play from King Henry V, And we have Data coming in, and he is playing Henry as he's walking in and talking to his troops, pretending to be a commoner. And strangely enough, we have it's Picard is kind of the guy that's giving him like coaching
direction.
Lessons. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you notice, one of the soldiers
is totally him.
Is Patrick Stewart in makeup?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. So
yeah.
I liked it. As we all know that Patrick Stewart really cut his teeth with Shakespearean acting before he even got into movies. So he's pretty good at it.
Yes.
So we're getting into there, and then obviously they get called away, and we get what happens is a Romulan scout ship is coming into through the neutral zone into Federation space, and they're being chased by a Romulan warbird. And during the chase, Picard, tries to contact both of them. Obviously, nobody's responding to him, but the scout ship says, that they want asylum. And so Picard decides to extend his shields around the scout ship enough to pull this Romulan off his scout ship and basically saving his life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have here is a defector from the Romulan Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Sub-Lieutenant Satel, and that he's a logistics officer. So he would know like the background information of like how many troops are where they are located and like mm-hmm. how they're supplying the troops and getting people from point A to point B, all that stuff.
Right.
So he says that there is a base that the Romulans are building on, Novella 3?
Was it 3?
Yeah, 3. Okay. Novella. Nirvana?
Novella, I think, is how they were saying it.
Novella 3. Right. So he says, that they're building this secret base, and it's kind of like a touchstone, and then they're going to amass their ships, and they're going to invade the Federation and, start a war.
Right.
And his whole thing is, I'm here to stop a war. So, Picard is a little like, okay, that's a lot to take in. Doesn't know if he totally believes him. And, when they dismiss him from his meeting, he asks them to like Data and Geordi to look at the scout ship. And right after he does that, the ship explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And the ship explodes, and he's like, "Well, it's like I'm trying to stop a war. I'm not a traitor to my people."
Right.
So, and he
self-destructed the ship.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Satel did. So Picard sort of like thinking like, "Well, I have nothing. It's hard for me to go on what you're trying to tell me because you're just a guy coming in." And here's the next thing is that the Picard and crew are dubious of this guy because, like, this could be some kind of trap to get them to come to this planet and they get ambushed.
Right.
Or worse, so maybe they start the war by accident.
Exactly.
So then they go from there. He was burned and injured during the chase, and, Dr. Crusher heals him, and during that time he's insulting insulting Worf the whole time. It's kind of hilarious that they're going at it, and he's like, but he does it because he says he likes Worf. He understands Worf.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, during this whole time, we get Picard just trying to see if this Satel is
doing everything he can to figure out something that's plausible, like not plausible, but evidence enough to believe him.
Right. And at one point, they even launch a probe to this planet where this base is supposedly there. But unfortunately, the probe just doesn't seem to give them enough information. They say that there's some sort of radio waves, but it's hard to tell what it is. But it's they think it's Romulan, but they're not entirely certain.
Right.
At the same time, Riker and Troy are basically interrogating Satel. And he doesn't want to tell them really anything about what their fleet's doing, what their, you know, any inside information. He just wants us to basically that this base is being built and they have to go and stop it somehow. And they don't even know if they can believe them at this point.
And he's clearly hiding something. He's not ashamed of saying that he's not telling them everything either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so the next thing we find out, there's a small little thread too that Geordi looked at. He analyzed the chase of the Romulan warbird with Sital's scout ship and found that basically that they were kind of backing off so they wouldn't totally take them, surpass them or be right on top of them.
Right, which at the time seemed like they were watching to wait and see when they would meet up with the Enterprise and, you know, something nefarious.
Right, exactly. So that also cast shade upon him.
Mm-hmm.
So during this point, there's a certain time where Data reaches out with him. It reaches out to Sital. And they kind of make, I don't know what you want to call friendship, but they bonded, I think. A little bit. And Data, talks with them, and Sital just basically saying that he's never going to see his home again. He's never be allowed to return to Romulus. And so Data goes to the holodeck and kind of recreates his planetscape for him to see. And he doesn't really, he realizes he can't look at this right now because it's, this isn't going to be his life anymore.
Right.
And then he says that he tells him to end the program. And then he says, have a meeting with myself and Captain Picard and tell him that Admiral Jarak wants to talk to him. So Sital is actually an admiral, Admiral Jarak.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been lying to them even more. So,
which, I mean, I love television for this, but you knew that that's how where this was going because
there's more happening.
Because of the way the show opened, you know, you knew it was going to be a similar situation. So,
right, and so they have this meeting, and it's actually pretty heavy because what happens is Picard just says, "You got to give us more information." Just afraid that war is going to break out because. You holding anything back is not helping us at all to believe you. And he even says to him, you already are a traitor. Cause he says, I'm not a traitor to people. He says to them, you are a traitor already. What's the difference? What you say or tell us now, you know? And, it was pretty, I thought it was a pretty heavy moment for he got right in his face and just say, gotta give us more.
You know, it's hilarious. My niece came, I was watching it this morning, my niece got up, and mm-hmm. she comes and she's sitting down and she's just like cuddling with me on the couch, she's watching it, and she's like, and she's six, and mm-hmm. And she's talking about Picard, she goes, he's mean. And then after the scene ended, I had to explain to her, like, sometimes you have to speak to people a certain way, sure. because... they're not being truthful or they're holding back or they need to come to a realization. And sometimes you just have to figure out how to speak to them. And he's not really mean, but he knew exactly how to speak to him to get what he needed.
Right. To be direct to him. And So Picard's like, you just better get used to being, this defector traitor. Jarak basically says that he has a daughter and that he didn't want to see war between the Romulan people and the Federation. And this is what he did it. He did it for, peace and also to save people like, the people he loved, his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And but he says, unfortunately, my daughter will only know me as father as a traitor. So, you feel for him in a way, but also you're like, yeah, but you're still not doing much for us. So, Picard, his speech to him gives him a little bit of a push, and Jarak does give him some, some information and technical data on the Romulan ships. And so Picard feels that he can go to this Nelvana 3 and check this out. So the Enterprise enters the neutral zone, which is a violation of their treaty. And they go to this planet. And while they're scanning it, they really don't find anything. The planet is completely
barren. But then they turn around and...
And dun, dun, dun! It's the Romulans. Two Romulan warbirds decloak, and we have one of their character that we've seen before, Commander Tomalak. He's sort of like a thorn in Picard's side, and he's basically saying, "Oh, look what we found here. The Enterprise has wandered into the neutral zone, you know," and he wants obviously them to surrender. Mm-hmm. And he says, "I'm going to take the Enterprise broken hull and put it in the center of the Romulan capital, so it'll inspire our troops for generations." And Picard's like, "Okay, that ain't going to happen." But what Picard does have is an ace up his sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that he wasn't going to go in all by himself. And so he calls in a favor from the Klingons. And three Klingon bird of prey decloak right around the ships, the bird of prey the warbirds. And they're kind of scared off because they know that, hey, maybe we're not going to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
So they back off. So Enterprise heads back to Federation space. But during this point, we find out that the Admiral Jarak has took a pill and committed suicide. And he wrote a letter to his family, but he's afraid that his family will never get it.
Yeah.
So Picard had to... kind of put that into perspective as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was an interesting episode, more for the fact that how Picard had to, you know, convince Jarak that he, because he's a traitor or a defector, however you want to define it, he's got to do something to give some hope to it. And the problem with Jarak is that he was fed all this misinformation by the Romulans.
Mm.
So everything he did was for nothing, and they were kind of testing his resolve to see if he'd actually, you know, go forward with war plans if he was presented with them.
Right. It came out that he was apprehensive about one of their decisions, and so they gave him this task and fed him all this false crap.
Right.
And that's when it makes sense why they were following him to the edge of space, but not overtaking him, because they wanted to see what he was going to do with that information.
Absolutely.
That's smart, but those bastards.
Yeah. Those aren't nice people. You don't want to be around those type of people.
I would do it.
You would do it?
I would do it. Yeah.
You feed people false information?
Yeah. If I had to, absolutely. Have you not ever told one of your friends, like, a lie to see if they would tell anyone, and then when it comes back, you're like, oh, yeah, cute.
I'm not that smart, to tell you the truth. It's not that I probably wouldn't. It's just more of a, you know, I don't, it's too much for me to go through the whole thing. So I'm just like, yeah, really.
Yeah, that's how you know when your friends keep your secrets or not.
You tell them something
different. And then when somebody, like, they talk to you about it, or you just tell one person one thing and then you wait for it to come out.
Really crazy.
Yeah. I've only done it like twice.
nice.
But.
Well, hey, you might play well in the Romulan Empire.
Well, you see, it was for a just cause. I wasn't some crazy.
I get it. Hateful. Yeah, things. Some things have to be. You have to flush out the mole or the spy.
Yes. You don't have worthless people in your lives. Okay.
Yes.
You need to
Jarak.
Have worthwhile humans in your life.
Right, Jarak. What did you think of Picard in this? I think this is kind of like interesting to me because Picard is dubious, but then, like, he knows when to go in and he knows how to keep like an ace up his sleeve. That's what I thought about. That was cool about it.
I really liked how unsure he was of him, of not just himself, but of the situation. You know, he ended up even quoting part of the play.
Yeah, Henry V, right?
He was so undecided and so unsure, but at a split moment, he'd be ready to do whichever one he needed to do, whether it was to go in or not to. You know, if it's an honorable cause, my crew will do what they need to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I just love, this is the kind of episode that makes you love Picard, because he's weighing the situation. He's not going in with, you know, very little knowledge and guns blazing. He worked for the intel that he needed to make the best decision. And he got it.
Also, what was interesting was how he asked Data to take a record of how this everything started. Because he was really believing that they probably were going to go to war.
Right.
And he's like, I want you to take record of everything that's happening here, just in case something does happen. And, you know, like, so history will know how this all went down. So I think that's actually, because if you think about it, he's basically saying, I could screw up here, or I could do everything right, or I could, you know, maybe a mixed bag, but, you know, I want you to be the one to report everything back.
Right.
And that's also, like, really, I think that's what's cool about Picard, too, is, like, he's not going to, you know, hide anything he might have done wrong, you know.
Well, that's true. Like, especially with, you know, the Stargazer issue.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. So I thought this was cool, and then just how he had to get through to Jarak and, you know, get him to, like, you know, see, like, you can't be both, you know. I know that you love the, you know, your Romulan country and your countrymen, but, you know,
if you feel that what they're doing is wrong,
you're going to have to tell us stuff, and you're going to have to give us the information we need to for us to move forward.
Right. Not going in blind.
Yes, exactly. That's what I liked about it. And I also liked that it was like a line that was dropped, like, really quick, saying, like, what was it? Like, something about the Klingons. And he had Worf go meet somebody or talk to somebody of the Klingons. Mm-hmm. And that was basically him. The line drop was like the hint that he's getting help from the Klingons to come, you know, have his back. So he wasn't going to go unassisted into the neutral zone if it was a trap. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool. I liked it. And, it, you know, the Federation say, you know, basically nobody else, as always, nobody else. There's no other ships remotely in the area that could help you.
Right.
So the Enterprise was by itself. So he had to do something.
And I was curious, is the cloaking technology the same between the Klingons and the Romulans?
Yes. So the Klingons back in the original series, somehow, I forgot how it was, but it was like one of their treaties or something, through warfare, they gained their cloaking technology from the Romulans.
Right.
So they kind of like lifted it off of them. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, and they've had it ever since then, so. But yeah, I think that was cool. And, you know, it was great to see a little Shakespeare and Picard doing his whole Shakespeare bit, so.
Yes.
Well, I guess it was Patrick Stewart, so. But still.
Well, you never know. Maybe Picard dreams of being a Shakespearean actor.
I think he does. I think he really does. Well, should we move on to The Offspring?
Yes.
Well, The Offspring is in the same season, season 3, episode 16, and this is aired March 12th, 1990. And this is where Data makes himself a daughter. And we get the whole thing where Data went to some cybernetics conference, and I guess some new technology was shown that he could replicate his neural network for his brain. And we kind of got a little bit of that in Measure of a Man when we talked about that last week, that Data's engineering is so unique that nobody can reproduce it. So this was something that, like, hey, this might be a way I can reproduce it. I can, you know, continue the work of Soon that created Data. And so he creates a daughter. Well, it's not a daughter yet, but named Lal. Mm-hmm. And when Picard sees it, he's kind of upset.
Yeah, a little.
And he's like, and it's funny, Data's response, like, you know, I don't recall anybody else on the crew telling you that they're, you know, going to, you know, have a child or procreate, mm-hmm. you know, or asking your permission. So
I loved seeing that kind of emotion from Data, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily emotion, but reaction, just
his reaction, exactly. You know, it's completely logical. His logic is like, I'm creating another one of an android like myself. And humans do it all the time. Why can't I?
Birds do it. Bees do it.
It's like androids do it. So he does this, and Picard is kind of pissed off. So the thing is that he, I think, and this is, again, we're going to, like, we talked a little bit on Measure of Man, but I'm seeing it again. It's like, you know, a young teenager getting pregnant. He's like, what the fuck? It's like, you're too young to be bringing a child into this world kind of talk. And that's what I kind of felt like. You know, it was sort of that talk. It's like, do you know the responsibility and what you're doing? It's like, you're not just, you know, and like Data says, well, I can just deactivate. It's like, it's a life, Data. You just can't deactivate it. And Picard is, I think, very worried. Because he's, you know, he doesn't think Data comprehends what he's done.
What he's done.
Do you know what you've done, Data? And it's, and that's the other thing. It's like the whole species thing is like, you know, the android species, the species of Data. So this is where, and then a little bit later on, Lal decides to become a human female. So she takes that form. And during that time...
She learns fairly quickly as well.
Yeah, she's, you know, what is it, like, she's 2 weeks old or something like that. I can't remember. There's a lot of great jokes in this whole thing because Lal is hilarious. Like, they're teaching her how to throw the ball, and she has, like, bad reaction speed. She tries to drink, and the water just sort of, the drink just dribbles out of her mouth. Mm. So it's all great. It's funny stuff. And, but this is where we got this... it's kind of like the adversary in this episode, Admiral Haftel. He calls Picard and he wants to be apprised of what Data's done because mm-hmm. he got the reports about Lal, and he thinks that she should go to this special facility where they can basically train her and program her and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. Haftel wants wants Lal to be transported back to this facility where they can, where they can just focus on Lal and try to program her correctly and get her, to become, I guess sentient. And that's the whole thing is like, Lal is like moving into sentience. Like she's learning slowly. And, you know, obviously, Picard's appalled by this and doesn't think this should happen. So, by the time Admiral Haftel comes to meet with the Enterprise, he has a meeting with Lal, and Lal's just, you know, he says, you're going to come with me, and she goes, I want to stay here with my father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it becomes clear to Picard that Haftel isn't going to take no for an answer kind of thing. He doesn't really see the androids as having rights.
They're bastard.
And so, but then Lal leaves that meeting and she starts having emotion. She's having fear. Mm-hmm. And so she's all upset. She goes to Troy and Troy, is with her and she leaves Troy's quarters, but she's, you know, all upset. And what happens is, next is, Picard and Haftel have a meeting with Data and he's like, they try to go back and forth like a ping pong about the whole thing. Data doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He wants, you know, wants Law to stay with him. And basically what happens is, you know, she's like, you're going to be, she's going to be transferred one way or the other. And Picard says, no, he's not. I'm going to take this all the way to Starfleet. And even Admiral Haftel says, I am Starfleet. You're going to lose your command. You're going to put your career in jeopardy over this. And Picard's like, there are some times when men of good conscience have to, you know, not follow orders. And it's, you know, I think this is like a defining moment for Picard. Just, yeah. To, you know, saying, yeah, I know you gave me the orders, but I'm not following it, you know. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Lull does not really make it. It seems like something in her, the matrix of how she, you know, Data created her, or this new technology that he was so excited about, couldn't transfer correctly. And she's having all these system failures. And we get this really sad scene where, you know, Haftel actually decides he's going to help Data try to save her. And, you know, he comes out and he's all shaken up and he's like, his hands were moving faster than I could even see. And he couldn't stop her to have this, you know, a complete system collapse. Mm. So it's so sad. And, at the very end, you know, Data walks on the bridge and basically says that he uploaded Lull's memories and her programs to his brain. And, you know, that he has everything from Lull now in him. And, everyone's trying to, you know, say, you know, that they're sad for his loss, but Data's like, thank you for the sympathy, but I don't feel anything.
Right.
You know, it's hard for you to, even me is like, as I know that, but he's like, he's a robot. He doesn't understand. So, this was a great episode. I thought it's obviously more Data centric, but I think it shows a shining example of who Picard is. What did you think about this episode after, you know, thinking about Picard?
Yeah. No, same. He gives us this vibe that he is very proper and to the letter of the law, but then he has these moments, and this is a good example, but this one, he actually like comes forth and he's like, fuck you, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I respect about Picard, because oftentimes we think we are a part of something and we think that we know what is morally best, and sometimes you just follow orders and sometimes you actually know at least what's best for your moral, you know, soul.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, what's cool about Picard, and hopefully anybody, if you want to follow Picard's example, I guess, it's know what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Deep down. And, you know, like if you're at a workplace or if you're, you know, with some people and they start doing something or saying something that you just, it doesn't jive, either, you know, it's time for you to walk out or say something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like certain times it's like, this is not who I am. And I like that Picard here, even though this was his career for, you know, I'm assuming at least a good 20 some years, he's willing to throw it away.
You know, for Data. And yeah.
Like he even goes to Data and goes, stand your ground, Data.
Yeah.
We're not stopping here. And you're not going to be stopped by this. And Picard definitely wants to have that. Like I said before, he has that like parental thing with Data. It's very much like yes, he respects Data. He knows Data's extremely capable of doing amazing things, but he knows Data sometimes is like a victim.
Childlike or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's certain aspects that he's just not prepared to handle. And that's where Picard comes up and says, I'll help you here, or I'll show you the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about Picard. And this is, we see it again and again, but I mean, I think it comes in strong clarity when it comes to Data.
See, this is why I believe Star Trek is such a good family show.
Yeah.
You know, there are adult jokes and there are adult situations and innuendos and straight up, damn, you're sexy. But
yeah, I am sexy, man.
But it's just, you know, to have this kind of show and to watch it with your kids, and you to, you know, turn the episode off and go, okay, what did we learn? Like, mm-hmm. we learned that if you believe something is right, granted, some people are wrong with what they believe is right.
It's okay, you know, but that's that. But that will get either anything like that will get either proven wrong, or, you know, time will show them something that's not.
But that's
something, a flaw in it.
But that's the thing, like, you know. At the end of this episode, if you are on the side of the Admiral, mm-hmm. you know, your parents go, well, why? Why do you think that's okay? And then it's, would it be okay if we gave you away?
Sure.
You yeah, know, right, and, exactly. and your parents put it into perspective for you. And I just think it's a great family show. And I think they touch on topics that are important, because some shows are like, here's a talking sponge. Have fun. Hey, listen to all know, these songs.
There's still some fun in talking sponges.
There's fun. Don't get me wrong. I watched SpongeBob for like a couple seasons, but you know, you gotta have depth, and you know, when you're a child, like LOL, you need to be able to have these adult experiences and to be able to talk to your parents about it. And that's what I just love Star Trek as a family show. And Picard is a good example of who you want to be, or at least who I want to be. You know, I want to be dedicated to my goals, and I want to stand by my moral high ground and...
And know when to walk away when something's not right, or,
exactly.
or stand up for it. And it's the funny thing is the Federation constantly is like, acts like assholes sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, for as like enlightened as they are, like maybe Picard is maybe the best person in the Federation. Like, he's the most like upstanding person, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so weird, because they're always coming in like, you know, as we talked last episode, we had Measure of a Man, where he's like, you know, we're going to take Data apart. Well, what about my memories? Fuck your memories. You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So, when that Commander Maddox was going at that, so,
that bastard, and David had the gall to put him on the cover of the episode. I was like, I hate that guy. I was so mad.
Really? Really, man? Really? That's hilarious.
Join the Facebook group and you'll get what I'm talking about, people.
Can be angry at Dave.
Dave. Sorry.
Yeah, no. We love Dave, but he didn't have to put him there.
This one's for you, Dave.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I mean, the Federation constantly makes you feel like, oh man, such a people were better than this.
And you know, I think that what year did this episode air?
1990?
Early 90s?
I think 1990, exactly.
So, I mean, with the way the world was, still is, you know, you want to talk about all that kind of stuff, and there's corruption everywhere.
Sure.
And I think, again, you want to make episodes that exemplifies characters who have excellent judgment and character, mm-hmm. and maybe that's the point. You know, maybe the point is to, you know, allow a storyline where there is corruption in, you know, said government, but that you as a citizen, you know, do the right thing.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, it's obviously that there's always going to be corruption in any, like, large, you know, organization. And we had the episode? Was it a two-parter? Conspiracy with the insects that are, like, they're inside those people.
Do you remember those? I don't know.
It's, like, first or second season. It's actually more like a horror episode. It's like, yeah, because like there's like they blow this guy's head up and everything, so it's pretty fucking gross. Anyways, we talked about that a long time ago, like in or like one of our early episodes, but that was another, like, it was more of an alien like invasion of the body snatchers, like these like weird bugs that were getting into people's bodies, mm-hmm. and controlling the Federation, but it's like kind of like that conspiracy, or, you know, like overthrow of a government from within, you know. So
yeah,
it was cool. And like Picard and Riker, and, you know, had a deal with it. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think, yeah, this offspring. I mean, Defector was a cool to see Picard kind of like, and be in a tough situation and make a decision, but not lightly. And then also, even when it looks like he's got no plan, he actually has a plan.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
I was just going to say, and he has to watch his friend lose his offspring. And yeah. Data, I think he felt it. I think he was sad and devastated and, you know, but I don't know. It's so like Data to say that he's fine.
You know,
he's fine.
I think Data understood the loss and what happened there.
Yeah.
But he didn't, I don't think he felt like an emotion, but he just definitely felt a loss. And there's, we're not going to cover it in the Picard series, but there's a Times Arrow, as a two-parter where like the Mark Twain character, cause they go back in time and they meet Mark Twain and stuff like that. But, like Data, Troy goes, Riker, did you ever hear what Data, how Data, considers friendship? He goes, like, my neural pathways, used to certain people and I becomes accustomed to them. And when they're not there, my neural pathways notices it and, kind of like it misses that. So it's like, it's not that he feels like sad that somebody's not there. He just kind of just like realizes not there and he feels their absence. It's an interesting way to say it.
That's the way I'm going to tell my friends I miss them. I'm just going to be like, I feel your absence.
I feel your absence.
I think that's deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty
funny. It's funny.
You laughing at my pain?
Yes. I'm sorry. If only we were Data, we would have feel these things.
That would be great.
Turn off the emotion. We have to. Yeah, when we actually, we're not going to talk about Generations when Data gets his emotion chip. That's hilarious when he's like laughing and full of fear and stuff like that.
I think I've seen that episode.
It was the movie. It was the one with Kirk and Picard. They go on a mission together. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe I've not seen that.
You haven't seen Generations?
I thought I had, but I don't remember Kirk and Picard.
Yeah, they ride horses together. They shoot lasers together. They're just two pals.
Oh, God. I'm not worthy of co-host status.
It's not a great movie. It was like the Next Generation was going to start their movies, and it was sort of like a pass the torch, like the old guard giving
bridging
to the new
the
guard.
Gap.
Yeah. So and they kind of did it's not time travel, but it's hard to explain. But Kirk gets put into their future.
So. It's not time travel, but Kirk is in the future.
But anyways.
And the reason that makes sense is Star Trek.
Star Trek! Yes. Anything makes sense if you just throw some, you know, bad boy book at the end and just like say whatever. It's like, you know, some technical jargon at the end of it.
Well, you know, an optimist can always find a reason.
That's right.
It works.
Just keep looking.
You'll find
looking into every rock. So that's our two episodes. I'm enjoying this look back at Picard. It's funny because we focused a lot on Discovery, and then we took a little jaunt on some other movies like The Matrix, and we did Ice Pirates, and it's kind of fun just going back to the Next Generation and watching some of these episodes because it's been a while.
I do love The Next Generation, so
yeah, it's fun.
It is nice to get back and watch some Next Generation.
And we got some more coming up. Yes. We're going to be talking about some more. And obviously we're just delving into the Picard side of things. So, it's going to be interesting. The next one, I believe we're going to do Best of Both Worlds, part one and two. So we get the whole Borg assimilation thing.
Yay.
So that's like a pretty big deal.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about that next week. So that'll be fun. Anything else we want to talk about these two episodes?
Well, I thought I'd ask.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we should incorporate this into each episode that mm-hmm. we discuss on Picard. But maybe for now, let's talk about the last six episodes we've talked about.
Sure.
And how they might get us ready for Picard.
Well, we saw the loss of the Stargazer, mm-hmm. and I don't think that will play much into it. And I'm guessing we're not going to see Ferengi. Maybe one or two, but nothing too crazy. Mm. Obviously, Measure of Man, deals with Data, so that's important, of course. Mm. So I obviously we'll see more of that. I would think, at least.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. What else? I don't know. The Who Watches the Watchers one.
It would be cool if that came full circle.
It would be. It's interesting because we're dealing with, like, Romulans, and these, like, are proto-Vulcans. So the Romulan Vulcans are related. They left. The Romulans left the Vulcan planet, like, centuries ago. Mm-hmm. And they started their own planet, their own empire, basically. And since the Rift, they've always been kind of not cool with each other. But the only other thing is we did see the planet that Velez Rocks, where they taped Who Watches the Watchers. We also saw in the Picard teaser that he's back at that, but they use that spot all the time for Star Trek. Like Kirk fought the Gorn, the big lizard creature, in that same spot. So I mean, it's like famous for Star Trek episodes. So. Yeah. A lot of other Hollywood shows too that use it. So, but I don't know. I don't know if any of these will. I mean, obviously the Data side. I think we'll see that Picard has a strong affiliation with Data.
Yeah. Well, I am excited that we are doing this because obviously he left Starfleet and we want to mm-hmm. know why. And I think you've picked some amazing episodes that really show.
Thank you.
Like, you know, challenges that he's faced and character building, really good character building. So. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's great. And obviously we got, seven seasons of Next Generation that they can mine for, and the movies afterward, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that they can mine for, you know, great Picard content and knowing who he is and stuff right. like that. So,
and I think there's so much. There's so much that we could be seeing that comes into this new season, this series.
Sure.
But it really is all about who you are as a person and what you're willing to stand up for and who you're willing to stand up to.
Exactly.
And I'm excited.
It's always interesting. It's always interesting. We'll see what Picard decides that he's going to say and do and stand up for whoever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. And he's a great character to see that. And he has, like I said, before, he just has such a, great way of speaking, his gravitas just when he talks. He's so, like, authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. He's just great how he talks.
He's captivating. He really is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's he's an older gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're a young boy, I'm a young girl. But he's influential. Like, kids today need to see shows that are of their same age. It's all about this. And I don't mean to insult anyone, but it's all about representation. But mm-hmm. I didn't need that when I was little. When I was a 7-year-old female, I didn't need anybody but, snarky golden girls and Jean-Luc Picard, to show me who I wanted, what I wanted to be like to my friends.
That's good. Those are two good things to base yourself off of. And just add a pepper of SpongeBob songs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just for the silliness. Gosh,
that's Rose.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Nice. Picard has always been great, and I didn't, I wasn't as young, but I think I was around high school and just getting out of high school when this was all out, so I was but it was still great to see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, he's just, Patrick Stewart's depiction of the character is just so, so captivating. Like you said, he's just, he's just holds your attention.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, probably.
All
I'm
right.
sure people are sick and tired of us already.
They're always sick and tired of us Synthaholics. Well, Holly, as Dave always says, our music is provided by Warp 11. Our intro is by Dave Wilkes. Warp 11 you can find at warp11.com. Dave Wilkes, he lives someplace, but we don't know. And he will not give me his address, so I guess we'll just have to just say it's by Dave Wilkes. So, as always, you can, as we said in the beginning, you can find the show at synthaholics.com. You can email us if you want to say something more about Picard or any other ideas about Picard at synthaholics@yahoo.com. So you can email us there. Also, you can tweet us. We are Synthaholics Duo. I am Blackbird2004. Dave is David_J_Duncan, and Holly's Lunar Thistle. And let us know what you think. If you like the show, if there's something else that's going on that you think that we missed or we should be talking about,
anything sci-fi, we are down to cover.
We are open for any of that. And please go to our Patreon.com/Synthaholics. That's a great way to support the show. You can throw us $1 a month. That's not much to ask, just to help keep our podcast going. And iTunes, rate and review us there.
Do it.
And Holly, do it now. You know that if you can't do any of those things, and like I always say, let people know about the show. Either you can share it on social media, on your Facebook feed, or your Twitter, or Reddit, or wherever. And or just tell your roommate, tell your friend, tell your boyfriend, girlfriend, tell your whatever. Just let them know.
Yeah, don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. Say, I listen to Synthaholics. I'm not perfect.
You let them know.
Right. Anything else you want to say about these Picards?
No, I'm excited to go deeper.
Yes, deeper. Yes. Deeper into Best of Both Worlds 1 and 2.
Yay!
It's fun stuff. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us. Live long and prosper, one and all. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
I am quick to cut. Not quick. You get a couple chances. If it's a pattern, I am okay with never talking to you ever again. I'm fine with it.
And that's good, because it shows that your own self worth.
Mm-hmm. So. How's Jaeger?
Yeah.
Hi, Holly.
Well, that was funny.
That's funny. Well, everyone, live long and prosper.
Stop. Go ahead. They come in, and so you've seen my office.
Yeah.
And so, I've got all my masquerade masks and my dragons and all my little trinkets all over the place. And so every time they come over, the first thing they do is they collect my My Little Pony figurines.
Nice.
And my dragon TYs.
Wow.
And now Nat is running around with my masks.
So they just tear everything up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't say blah, blah, blah.
She doesn't say blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah. She's not Dracula.
Oh, So
I got the kids. They're playing. My kids are like love Stranger Things.
Mm.
And so I bought them a Stranger Things starter pack for Dungeons and Dragons.
Cool.
It's just like a very introductory kind of thing. And it's like, so they're super psyched. So we played a couple times, and there's a place right around the corner from us called Dragon Snacks that is all for gaming store. It's not just role playing games. It's also like board games and stuff like that. So really cool stuff. And so they bought like some of those little miniatures, those minis.
Mm-hmm.
oh my God, they're totally into it. Like, aww. I just think it's the coolest thing in the world.
That's so cool.
I used to paint them when I was younger. I don't do it anymore because I don't have freaking time to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're totally into it. So I'm turning my kids into nerds like me.
One of us.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
My nieces, actually, when they got here this week, they're like, we play Pokemon now. And I was like, oh, it's not like magic. And they're like, I don't know what that is. And I was like, okay. So I had to, like, show them my magic cards. Like, not that know anything. I only have, like, a starter pack for that. But.
Right.
Oh, my God. It was just the funniest thing. I'm like, maybe you guys need to learn how to play magic.
Yeah, were they interested?
They're all about the Pokemon right now.
Oh, they're, yeah. My kids were really into Pokemon for a little bit. Like, they had tons of cards, and they were doing the Pokemon game where you, like, you know, play the game to hunt for them.
Oh, yes.
And then all of a sudden it just fell out of fashion, and they're like, Ted, we don't do that anymore. I'm like, sorry.
That's not cool, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, but, you know, the couple, like, $100 I threw at it, that it was cool then, right?
Right.
You know, Jesus Christ. Just piss me off.
Oh, man.
This must be on the cutting room floor.
Right.
Let's just take our best shot.
We'll take our best shot.